Are you past the point of weary? Is your burden weighing heavy? Is it all too much to carry? Let me tell you about my Jesus. Do you feel that empty feeling? 'Cause shame's done all his stealing, and you're desperate for some healing. Let me tell you about my Jesus. He makes a way when there ain't no way. Rises up from an empty grave. Ain't no sinner that he can't save. Let me tell you about my Jesus. His love is strong and his grace is free. And the good news is I know that he can do for you what he's done for me. Let me tell you about my Jesus. And let my Jesus change your life. The tears for broken dreams and wasted years, and tell the past to disappear. Oh, let me tell you about my Jesus and all the wrong turns that you would go and undo if you could. Who could work it out for your good? Let me tell you about my Jesus. He makes a way where there ain't no way. Rises up from an empty. To Calvary, paid the price for all my guilty. Who would care that much about me? Let me tell you about my Jesus. Oh,
he makes a way where there ain't no way. Rises up from an empty grave. Ain't no sinner that he can't save. Let me tell you about my Jesus. His love is strong and his grace is free. And the good news is I know that he can do for you what he's done for me. Let me tell you about my Jesus. And let my Jesus change your life. Hallelujah. 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 Amen.
See y'all this morning. Hope everyone's enjoying this beautiful, beautiful weekend, beautiful day the Lord's given us. Every day's beautiful that God gives us. Just love each and every one of you. Just good to see y'all. Let's all stand. We're going to go to the Lord in prayers. We open up our service and sing about Jesus. I love that. Love that. Does anyone have a prayer request this morning? Just show by the raising of your hand. Praise God. Anybody got that testimony? Praise. Let's just lift that other hand. Our most precious and heavenly Father, Lord, we just praise your name. Dear Lord, we want to worship you. Lord, we thank you. Dear Lord, we praise you. Lord, thank you for allowing us to gather in your house and in your name. But most of all, dear Lord, thank you for loving us, for your mercy and grace. Dear Lord, as we come to you now, Lord, may we turn our attention completely on you. Dear Lord, let everything that's just distracting us, Lord, we're just going to release it. And, dear Lord, we just want to worship you. Lord, we want to praise you. Lord, we thank you for the testimonies in this congregation this morning, Lord, for the testimonies of praise that we've heard today and that we hear each and every day. Dear Lord, you have healed cancer. Lord, we know that you've brought us back from those fiery trials that come against us, dear Lord. Most of all, dear Lord, we know that you've saved our soul. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your sacrifice for us, dear Lord, and your love for us. Lord, again, we just ask now, dear Lord, for each and every hand that's raised, dear Lord, that you'll just touch each and every prayer request, those spoken and unspoken. Lord, we ask that you'll just continue to heal, continue to mend, to protect, and to guide. Lord, again, for this service, dear Lord, we just worship you and we thank you for this day. Dear Lord, as your word comes forth, dear Lord, may we be receptive to the message that you have for us. And Lord, we give you all the honor and glory in Jesus' name. And everybody says, amen, amen. Let's give him another. I have another song on my mind, but after they were doing that song, I want to ask y'all, there's a hymn that we do. It's a chorus, but it's Jesus. And I'm just going to close in the hymnal. I just want us to worship the Lord for a minute. I'm going to ask you if there's anything that seems more trying than you think you can handle or more darker than you think you can see. Release it to Jesus this morning. Let's just worship him. Jesus, 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 all their suffering, a love and grace. Yes, Lord, just let me pray. Master, Jesus, love. around and tell somebody how much Jesus loves them.
Jesus loves
We're so glad to have y'all with us this morning. The Lord does love us. Just praise His holy name. Praise God. Praise God. Y'all sound like you're ready for church this morning. Amen. We're going to go ahead and take up the morning offering. Got one announcement I've got up here that I still want to continue. Time is drawing nigh on our Operation Christmas Child, the Christmas shoeboxes we do every year. Just a reminder for those of you that had signed up to bring something or a monetary gift, that this Wednesday, the 7th, will be the last time that you'll be able to bring your goods in. We'll be getting them all together because it's during the latter part of this week. All the packaging and all this stuff will be done. Matter of fact, this coming Saturday the 13th at 2 p.m., there's going to be a packing party. We'll get all the shoe boxes done, and then we'll move them over to the sanctuary after we're through. But if you have still a need and you'd like to give, if you'd like to help with the postage, we would love for that, please, if you could in any way. But also, the ministry would just like to thank each and every one of you for the wonderful support that's come forth so far, for all the meaning, the much love, and also thank you for your prayer. Let's continue with all of our ministries. They're so active, so much going on this time of year, all year long, actually. We just want to ask you to keep each ministry and the prayer that our church comes forth by the church is to edify God. Because it's not about us, it's all about Him. So we thank you and we love each and every one of you. Praise the Lord. Brother Thomas, would you ask the Lord to bless our morning offering, please? Yes, Lord. Amen.
Get a witness.
little witness. Anybody wanna testify?
But in 3 days, There is a grave that tried to hide this precious blood. Oh, that gave us life.
But in 3 days he breathed again.
For the precious blood of Jesus Christ that he shed on the cross of Calvary. Amen. Who made it possible for us to leave that old lifestyle. How many is thankful that he brought you out? Amen. Yeah. If you love him, give him praise. Amen. Glory to God. There was a line in one of those songs that said something about the tears. I heard recently where someone said that a departed saint of God, you have never seen or witnessed them crying as they enter into heaven. We cry, and our hearts are saddened by the fact of losing a loved one, but wait till you see what they see when they enter into that kingdom of God. No tears in heaven. Amen. And that really made an impact on me, because I know we understand that we're going to lose loved ones, and we understand that our heart is broken. But no tears in heaven. Amen. They're shouting in heaven and walking the streets of gold and glorifying Jesus Christ. Amen.
Praise the Lord. Let's reflect.
Oh, what a Savior. Oh, hallelujah. His heart was broken on Calvary. His hands were nail-scarred. His side was riven. He gave his life's blood for even me. If you're thankful, sing. His heart was Are you thankful he gave his blood? It's good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. Good to feel his holy presence. Amen. I am addicted, amen, to the presence of God. How about you? I need him every day. I need him every hour, every moment of every day. And I've always found him to be there. What a blessing that is. Amen. If you have your Bibles with you this morning, go with us to the Old Testament book of Numbers, the 13th chapter, verses 30 and 31. Numbers chapter 13, verses 30 and 31. When you get there, say, praise the Lord. The writing in the book of Numbers in verse 30 says, "And Caleb steeled the people before Moses and said, 'Let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it.' But the men that went up with him said, 'We be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we.'" Can we pray? Dear Heavenly Father, we are so thankful, God, for another day and another opportunity to come into your house to worship. For those who have gathered here today, God, I pray your blessing and your anointing, God, would pour out upon every soul that is under the sound of my voice this morning. Father, we thank you, Lord, for the miracles that you've wrought. We thank you, Lord, for salvation. We thank you, Lord, for the hunger and the desire that you've given us together this morning. Father, I pray, God, that you would fill our hearts with gladness. Lord, we know that we can put our faith and trust and hope in you. And God, no matter what comes or what we face, we know that we are more than able through your power. God, we do remember those who are sick. Many are afflicted. Some are traveling. Lord, and I pray, God, that you would meet every need there this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Just like to take a quick poll, if I might, this morning. Has God been good to anyone this week?
Oh, yes.
Come on, give him praise. Hallelujah. God is such a great God. Amen. He is able, as we say often, to do exceeding abundantly above all that we could ever ask or think. And for that, we're so thankful. This morning, I want to bring a message entitled, "The Power of Persuasion." Power of persuasion. And in doing so, we turn to a very familiar story in the Bible. The children of Israel have just been recently delivered from some 400 years of Egyptian bondage. I imagine that the expectations and the hopes are running very high in the children of Israel as they begin their journey into the promised land. As they reach this particular area, God speaks to Moses, and he gives Moses explicit direction. He says, "Choose you out 12 men, not just any man, but 12 men according to the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. Each one that you choose." Now, we often call this story the story of the 12 spies, and that's only a small part of it. In fact, they were more than spies. The Bible tells us that God told Moses to choose out 12 leaders or rulers of each individual tribe. These were not just ordinary men in that tribe. They were well respected. They were ones that probably had a role in the leadership of that tribe, probably generation after generation, and probably were very well known throughout the community and certainly throughout the tribes of Israel. And in fact, if you want to know their names, they're listed there for us to see, and tells us who their father was and how they came into being the 12 chosen rulers or leaders of Israel to go and to spy out the land. And here's the thing that I think we overlook so many times. They were not sent into the land to see if they could overtake it. They were simply sent into the land to view it and to bring back a report to the children of Israel to let them know what God had given them. I'm so afraid today we are still following in that old pattern, a man that was set years and years ago by the children of Israel,
how that many times when we should be putting our faith and trust in God, we're looking through eyes, natural eyes, and we're not seeing the ability, or we're not seeing the promise that God has given us. I want you to understand and know that God had already told Moses to tell the children of Israel to go in and possess the land that I have given thee. I want to remind us this morning that if God has ever answered a prayer for you, don't you give it back. Amen. Don't you let the devil sow doubt and fear into your mind. God doesn't and never has halfway done anything. He does it the right way, all the way through. And when God has answered a prayer for you, whatever it is, whether it be the healing of your body, certainly if it be the salvation of your soul, or the opening of a door of opportunity, don't you ever let the adversary sneak in and begin to tell you that it really didn't happen, or that God is not going to fulfill his promise unto you. Because God will never fail, and he will never lie. So God had already spoke to Moses, and he said, these 12 men that I know that you have confidence in, I want you to choose them. I want them to go out. And he gave them explicit direction. He wanted them to go and tell them exactly what was in the land. Is it good or is it bad? Is it fertile? Is there fruit there? What type of people are there? Are the cities strong? Are the people strong? Are they many? Are they few? Are the cities walled? All of those things. What kind of fruit is there? Is there an opportunity? Basically, what God wanted these 12 men to do was to go in and look at the opportunities for God to bless them. It was never intended for God to allow those people to go in and begin to bring back bad news. You know, God did not call me to preach bad news. The gospel is not bad news. There may be bad times, but the gospel is good news. Amen? There may be bad situations, but the promises of Almighty God tells me he'll bring me through bad situations. Amen? There may be sickness, there may be sorrow, and there may even be death. But the God that I serve will never leave us or forsake us. He'll always be there with us. We need to encourage people today. I know things are bad, but God is good. I know the news on the television is bad, but the gospel is full of good news. Amen. Yes. We can put our faith and trust in a never failing God. Yes. But I want to tell you and remind you today that there is a very present power of persuasion. Persuasion is basically the act of convincing someone to do something. I've heard and I've witnessed that there are certain people or situations that has the ability to convince people to do something against their better judgment. Maybe some in the audience, the congregation, have maybe been guilty of doing that. You know, I think about the power of persuasion. And I think about a recent, it's been years ago, it's still recent, situation where I wanted to go and feel and look and see the possibility of buying a truck. How many's ever been there? Or an automobile. So I went to a particular dealership. I will not tell you. It is not in this city nor one of the nearby cities. But I was approached. Isn't it amazing? You can drive in and not see a soul, but if you open that door, whoosh, I was approached, and I basically told them I was just looking and I was anticipating buying a truck. Well, then what kind? You know, this, that, and the other. And I was telling him, I laid out pretty much what I was looking. Come on in the office. And he began to lay out everything, and he began to tell me about, you can get this particular truck for this much a month. Isn't that wonderful? I guess. Well, how much can you pay a month? I said, I'm not interested in how much that I can pay a month. I'm interested in buying a truck for the cheapest price that I possibly can and the lowest interest rate possible. Do you have a zero interest rate? No, but look, only this much a month. You can spare that, can't you? Trying to make me feel bad. I said, well, yeah. But that's not what I'm interested in. I'm interested in the bottom price of the truck. And for the least amount of interest that I can pay. So then he stretches it out. Well, can you pay this much a month? I said, yeah, but I'm not interested in that. And he almost thought that he was going to convince me to buy an automobile and pay for it for 72 months. That's about as long as I paid for my first house. And I said, no, sir. Not interested in how many months or what the monthly price would be. I want to know what you'll sell me a truck for and the lowest amount of interest that I can get it for. If that lowest amount of interest is only available for 36 months, that's what I'm looking for. He wouldn't even talk to me. I don't even think he knew how to sell a truck like that, because they had been taught to persuade people to buy a car or a truck and stretch it out as far as they possibly could. I pulled my little calculator out and I multiplied that and I said, you mean that you won't sell me a truck for this amount of money? Extended out 72 months, time, that little bitty monthly payment. I said, I'm not interested in that. But so many people are persuaded by the ability of some to make a picture look so attractive and so good, they fail to realize what the end result is. I only gave you that explanation because souls are weighing in the balance right now because of the ability of Satan to persuade people today, amen, to take the long road regardless of what is happening at the end of the road. Let me tell you, drugs and alcohol will get you to a low end place at the end of the world, at the end of the road. Amen. A sinful lifestyle will take you down a wrong road. Amen. Maybe slowly. Maybe you can afford it for a while. But sooner or later, the power of persuasion has caused you to make bad decisions. Amen. The act of convincing someone to do something. I remember a story in the Bible where the Apostle Paul, I believe, was imprisoned. And then he was speaking for himself. And he almost persuaded, was it the jailer or Agrippa? I think it was Agrippa. He said, Paul, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. That's what we ought to be doing today. We ought to be persuading, convincing people that without Jesus Christ, you're doomed to a bad situation. But with Jesus, all things are possible. He died on the cross for your sins, for my sins. Open up your heart's door and accept him today. Not tomorrow, next week, but today. And I thought it quite amazing that a promise already given to the children of Israel, a promise that this land is yours, and the whole entire camp of Israel were persuaded by 10 rulers, spies, who saw the obstacles rather than the opportunity. They came back with an evil report. I can imagine. For 40 days, they were gone. For 40 days, they looked the situation over. For 40 days, they began to see the opportunities, but they also saw some obstacles or situations that might cause them to doubt or to fear that they were going to be able to come in and overtake the possession of the land that God had already promised them. That's the key to this whole message. God had already promised them that. It's not like you got to go in and do all this. I'm going to do that for you. All you got to do is put your faith and trust in me and go in by faith and overtake it. Somebody in the congregation needs to hear that this morning. It's not whether or not you can do it. It's not whether or not I can do it. It's the promise that God has said, I have done it already. All you need to do is step into your promise, go in and possess what God has already given you and what he's given the church. So here comes the spies back after 40 days. And to me, I'm seeing all of the children of Israel gathering around them. What'd you see? What's it like? How is it over there? Can we do it? Can we make it? Is the land good? And they're already bringing back some of the fruit. One particular branch was just loaded with grapes. They cut it down. And two people had to bear it back. Yeah, the fruit is great. The opportunities are there. Oh, it's a land surely that flows with milk and honey. It's the best life that there is. But the people are strong. Stronger than we. What a statement of unfaithfulness. There's sicknesses that are stronger. There's obstacles in this world today that are a whole lot stronger than me. There's situations, Brother Jim, that are a lot stronger than I'm able to do. But God didn't ask them to go in under their own ability. He said, I've given it to you. You just go in and possess it. Amen? The problem may be stronger than you, but God is stronger than the problem. The sickness, the affliction may be stronger than you, but God is stronger than the affliction. He's stronger than the sickness. He's stronger than the doubt that's in the world today. But the power of persuasion is a very real thing. 10 of the men begin to sow discord in the congregation. They begin to tell, oh man, we're just not going to be able to take it. The cities are walled. They're giants in the land. How many times have we looked at the giant rather than God? Looked at the problem rather than God's ability. Looked at the situation rather than putting our faith and trust in God. We know he's able. But you know what? I just don't think that we'll be able to go in and take the land over. Caleb steeled the people. He said, wait a minute. Wait a minute. Listen. It's not about our strength. It's not about our might. It's not about our ability. It's about the God that we serve. And his word has already went out. I'm here to tell you today, God has already spoke your deliverance. God has already spoke your healing. God has already spoke your direction in life. It's not about can I do it, because I can't do it. But the God I serve can do all things. Amen. The world that we're in, the people that we listen to, are in the process of persuading us not to fully trust in God, but believe man. Believe the things we hear and the things that we see. In this latest couple of years, if I've learned anything, and I was so learning, if I've learned anything, I got to pray every day. God, help me. You, because there is a very present spirit of deceit in this world today. So much so that people hear the lies, know their lies, and the ones that are lying know they're lying. But there is a very real power of persuasion too. to believe a lie and be damned according to the word of God. Help me, Lord. Spiritual blinders. Help me, Lord. Spiritual earmuffs to sow out and discard the things that come against me. The powers of persuasion that are against your word, that are against me putting faith and trust in you and believing man rather than believing the word of God. A very real power of persuasion. The power of persuasion can come from very learned people. And God knows that. On a Tuesday night, not to rehash an old story, but just to abbreviate, God allowed me to come home from the hospital where Kevin was, and Penny was over there that night. And I came home and ate supper with Mother and Daddy, and they said, "Why don't you just stay up here tonight? Stay in your old bedroom." And I did. And there was a Bible that was on the nightstand. It was there for as long as I lived. And even after I got married, and the Bible was still there. So getting ready to go to bed, I picked the Bible up. And I'm going to read, and I'm going to pray, and then I'm going to go to bed. And I opened the Bible. Or in hindsight, I think God did. You know, sometimes we can open the Bible, and whatever we're seeing is good. But sometimes God opens it, and it's exactly what we needed to hear. And it fell open to 1 Corinthians 2 and 5. And it looked like, honestly, it looked like it was just blowed up. And that one particular verse looked like it was just flashing neon. It said, "That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of man, but in the power of God." A scripture that I had read before. A scripture that was not totally unfamiliar with me. But it's like God said, "Okay, that's good. Rest on that. Think on that." And honestly, I didn't read a whole chapter. I didn't read the preceding or the verses after that. I closed my Bible. I prayed and I went to sleep. The very next day was a Wednesday. And I went over, relieved Penny. And there the doctors or the nurses called and said, the doctors want to see you in the consultation room. The power of persuasion room. Listening to three professionals, very well-educated, specialists in their field. Not a one of them had good news concerning my son. In fact, they were preparing me for the very worst. They were explaining to me all of the obstacles, leaving out the opportunities. They were telling me what man sees rather than what God can do. I don't know if you've ever been there, whether it's sickness, whether it's in front of a doctor, whether it's in front of a financial advisor, or advisor, or whatever the situation is. But sometimes the power of persuasion can really, really diminish your faith. And I can honestly say, had it not been for the scripture that God had already prepared me for it. God knows what you're going to face. God knows when you're going to face it. And when he tells you something, hold on to it by faith. Because we don't know how strong the power of persuasion is. And they told me all the obstacles, and they finally mentioned, "Do you understand, Mr. Allen, that your son at best has a 50% chance of survival?" And I said, "I appreciate your frankness. Appreciate you being truthful with me." And all I told him, I said, "Well, last night I was praying to God, and I'm just going to trust God." And they said, "Oh, yeah, that's a good thing." Yeah. See, that doesn't meet science.
"Don't you believe science?"
"I believe God." Don't you? I'm not discounting science. I'm saying I know a God who spoke that into existence too. You talk about science. He said, "Let there be light." Boom, there were light. He said, "Let the animals be put in." And the animals were there. And let the sea and the skies and all of that. Yeah, he's the God of science. Amen. But I'm going to put my faith and trust in a never-failing God. Yes, sir, thank you for sharing, and I promise I appreciate it from the depths of my heart.
but I really got to put my faith and trust in God. So we took Kevin home. We brought him home. And even that, they said, if he does survive, at best, children with those severe complications will probably never reach the age of school. And even though we believed for God's protection and God's healing of his body, there was that little seed of doubt that my son's never going to be the age to go to school. So Penny and I made the commitment that each and every day that we had with Kevin, we'd make the best of it, and we would love him and treat him exactly like he had a full life to live. But yet their power of persuasion was there. And I cannot lie to you, there was a little bit of animosity and fear and doubt when he started to get about 5 or 6 years old, because he started going through a lot of other situations. But through every one of them, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of man, but in the power of God, was with me continually, and thank God that it was. Never forget the promise of God. 10 of those leaders, those spies, forgot the promise of God, or simply put it out of their mind and begin to look at the obstacles, begin to look at the problems, begin to look at the bigness of the giants and all of the things that were there that they must have to overcome. But Caleb and Joshua were the only two, and Caleb was the voice to start with. And he stilled the people, and he said, we're more than able. We're more than able to possess it. The God that I serve is more than able, amen, to do exceeding abundantly above all that we could ever ask or think. But I know and understand that the day and hour that we're living in today, there's a very real spirit and a very reality of persuasion. Persuading or persuading people, or trying to convince people to do things that they're not comfortable with, things that they don't believe in, and things that they can't back up by the Word of God. The devil has always been that type of adversary, always trying to convince you something. God didn't really mean that. Surely you won't die. That's from the very beginning of time in the Garden of Eden. He meant the power of persuasion is very real. He was able to persuade Eve. Eve was able to persuade Adam. There are people today, Christians, saints of God, who are listening to the wrong voices. And they're being convinced and they're being persuaded by things that overlooking the power of God, overlooking the greatness of God and the reality of God. 10 of them saw obstacles. Saw the walled cities. They agreed, oh, the fruit is great. There's blessing there, but the price is too high. But 2 of them said, no, we're more than able to go in. And listen, so many times we stop there because we're merely talking about 2 out of 10, and that's not a good percentage, by the way. But you look around the world today, the percentage of true believers is very small. But I want to tell you something else. It's very powerful, too. Amen. Because we're not putting our faith and trust in man. We're putting it in God. But because of this, many times we end the story there because 2 were saying, yeah, let's go in and do it now. 10 said, no. But the people listened to the 10 and not to the 2. They put their faith and trust in the ability of the men. They hadn't seen it yet. They just trusted the 10 men who did. These 10 men were leaders. These 10 men were supposed to be heads of the tribe. They were supposed to be the ones who would lead their families and cause them to put their faith and trust in Almighty God. But yet, they sowed discord, they sowed unbelief, and they sowed something into that congregation that caused them to say, no, we can't go in and do it. And it even affected Moses. Sometimes we overlook this, but for 40 days, those spies searched out the land. And if you'll read that in its entirety, God was so provoked, so angered by the fact that he had already promised them the land And now they were not go. They were right there. We think about the 40 years that the children of Israel strayed through the wilderness, and it wasn't because it was a long journey. It was because of their disobedience and because they put their faith and trust in the obstacles and not God. But for 40 days, and God was so irate, so angry with the children of Israel, he shared with Moses. He said, 1 year for each day that the spies searched out the land. And because of their disobedience, because of the children of Israel's disobedience and lack of faith, he's going to cause them to be in the wilderness 1 year for each day. So 40 years when they were on the verge of receiving the promise. Some of us said, God, why? Why are you taking so long? Maybe it's not God's fault. Maybe we've listened to the power of persuasion. Many of us have been on the threshold of victory. Many of us have been on the threshold of enter into that promise that God has said he's already given us. But we can't see it. Doesn't look like a promise. Doesn't look like deliverance. Doesn't look like healing. Doesn't look like this is what God's wanting us to do or what he's done. So we're afraid to take that big step of faith and go in. And I want you to hear me when I say this. Go in and possess what God has already given us. Come here, brother. I want to use you for just a minute. This is us right here so many times. And we're here. We're right on the verge. Well, we're close to it. It's there. It's there. But it don't look like it. And you know what we're praying? Be careful here. We're praying for God to push us into it. God, if this is where you want me to go, God, if you really mean, then I want you to show me a sign. I want you to let me know. I'm putting out a fleece. I see that, but I'm putting out a fleece again. Lord, if it's really where you want me to go, just push me into it. God, you can be seated. Now, God said, you go in and you possess it. By faith, you go in and you receive your healing. By faith, you go in and receive your deliverance. By faith, you go in and receive that promise that God has already given us and given the church. Glory to God. I want to be a believer, amen, not just when it's convenient. I want to be a believer even when I can't see the effects of it. Hallelujah. It's time. It's time. I've heard some wonderful testimonies in my life. I've heard some church shaking testimonies in my life. I've heard about God's healing. I've heard about God's deliverance. I've heard about God's promises. I've seen the effects on people's faces when they stand and proclaim God's healing or his anointing. How many know that God is still in the delivering business? But I want you to understand, I've been in church a long time. That don't make me saved. The blood of Jesus did that. My repentive and broken and contrite spirit. But I'm going to say not this present congregation. But in my lifetime, I've heard some, they call them testimonies. And I'm saying, what did they say? I haven't heard one thing about God's deliverance yet. All I've heard is, how bad? And how awful? How big? The problem. I haven't heard that recently, so y'all don't get offended. Because believe it or not, sometimes I wanted to stand and testify.
Lord of mercy, you just ought to. No, but I can't do that.
Come on, man.
Because then I would be having my eyes on the obstacles and not on the opportunities. Well, I've heard people stand up and say, you know what? The devil's been all over me this week. Is that a testimony?
Come on, brother.
I'm looking for him. Devil's been after me all week, but he ain't got me. Hallelujah. He's been trying to convince me, but he's a liar. I know what he is. He's a deceiver, and I rebuked him in the name of Jesus. Go brother somebody else. You're not going to get my ability to believe in God. I refuse to be affected by the power of persuasion of the enemy. But it's time for us to possess the promises of God. Some people are still struggling over the fact that of their salvation. They're listening to the devil say, that's impossible. You know what you've done. You know how bad you've been. God ain't going to save you. God don't love you. And we're listening to that rather than putting our faith and trust. No, wait a minute. My Bible tells me if I'll come, amen, with a broken and contrite spirit and confess my sins and accept Jesus Christ into my life, he'll forgive me. How many thankful that we serve a forgiving Christ? But some folks are still having a hard time going in and possessing the fact that they're born again. And that the salvation that was freely given to us by the cross of Calvary, that Jesus shed his blood. Some are still struggling over the healing. They're waiting for the doctor to say it's okay rather than God say, I got it. I got it. And believe me, I've been there. I never more wanted any doctor to say there one little bit of good news when it was concerning Kevin. And it never really did come. We wanted to hear just one ray of hope. One ray of, you know what, we found this miracle drug. One ray of, I know a procedure that we can do that's going to make his situation. We never heard that. You know when that's hard? That's hard. But you know what? We got to realize that we got to put our faith and trust in God. Amen. Even when it doesn't look like victory, even when it doesn't feel like victory, even when the situation turns worse, I've seen that happen. The more that we believe, the devil tries to make the situation worse. But we can't be one of the 10. Got to be one of the 2 said, you know what? We're more than able. We're more than able. Deliverance. It's time to possess that deliverance that God has promised you. The good of the land. God says we can have the good of the land. What is the good of the land? Just to simply supply my needs. Come on. I'm not waiting on God to make me rich. See, I had the opportunity. He could either make me rich or good looking. I said, I don't care that much about money. God forgives liars too. In Jesus' name, please, Lord, forgive me. Said he'd give you the good of the land. What does that mean? He'll supply your needs. May not fill your meal barrel up, but that's okay. He won't let it go empty either. Blessings. We have preached and preached and preached about unclaimed blessings. There's so many unclaimed blessings waiting on us to just simply possess them and receive them and believe for God to do a miracle in our life, whatever that may be. So many unclaimed blessings. Why? Because we're listening to the power of persuasion. Satan makes things like that seem good to the flesh. Finally, some of us are still struggling over the promise of an eternal home in heaven. I'm believing with all of my heart. I haven't seen it. I have not seen, ear hath not heard, neither has it entered into the hearts of man. But I've read about it. Amen. I've sung about it. I've heard preachers preach about it. And I thank God that there's a place for me. Amen. I thank God that through the blood of Jesus Christ, there is a place sitting for me right now in heaven. And the devil's never, ever going to make me
disbelieve that. I don't care how much he tries to persuade me that there is no heaven. And you know what? He's persuading people that today. There's no heaven. There's no hell. There's no God. It's just, we're here. It takes faith, I know, to believe that Jesus died on the cross. It takes faith to believe that he went away to prepare a place for us, that where he is, we may be also. But God honors faith. Church, I urge us today, be very particular, very careful, because there is a very real power of persuasion that's in the world today. And, you know, our adversary is probably behind it all. So many times we get upset and mad at the wrong people or the wrong things. If anything ought to upset us, it's the upset us that the adversary is trying to kill, steal, and destroy. It's all he's good for. Trying to sow seed of doubt in your mind. Just a little seed, that's all he wants to do. Because just a little bit of doubt means that we don't completely have faith. Amen. And we need to pray. And I've been there. I'll be there again. I'll say, Lord, help my unbelief. Help me to believe you. Help me to trust you. Even when it doesn't look like that God is opening the door or making a way, he is. I hope you receive that today. And I hope you will beware of the wiles of the devil, because he's coming against us. And I believe he knows and realizes that his time is short. But you know what? When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. Would you stand? Every head bowed, every eye closed. I honestly pray today that I was able to deliver what God laid upon my heart. I pray that we have received it. I pray that we'll be more faithful, especially in the promises that God has already spoken in our life. Don't let anyone or anything, or especially the adversary, ever tell you anything different than what God has already promised you. And I say that today because, again, so many times I think we base our lifestyle on just things that we see naturally rather than things that we need to see through spiritual faith. And through spiritual faith, I believe God's going to take care of the church. I believe that with all of my heart. I believe that God is going to sustain us, and God's going to be there for us. And I pray that each and every one of us will have those eyes of faith to believe God, whatever we face. As we prepare to dismiss this morning, still with every head bowed, every eye closed, if there's a need in this audience anywhere, regardless of the need, there's never a need too small, and certainly never a need too big that God is not able to meet. If you have that need this morning, if you just want to get closer to the Lord, if you have a special need of healing, whatever the case may be, would you bring it to the altar this morning while you're with saints who believe in God, who believe in God's ability to heal, to anoint, and to make whole? As these are approaching the altar, some of you elders, if you would, gather in around them. Come and come on. We need some positive faith believers. Amen. Glory to God. We don't need the power of persuasion that God can't do it. We need those who believe that God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. Take this opportunity, if you have a need, to come forward this morning, and I'll assure you that we'll pray with you.
and is wonderful. Oh, I can almost see the lights of home. I can almost see the lights of that city. I see them gather all around the great white throne. Through faith in my Savior and His wonderful love, oh, I can almost see the lights of home. Oh, I can almost see the lights of that city. I see them gather. Coming down, where no sorrow or death will be known. That someday we could go there through His marvelous grace, forever live in that heavenly home. That city, I see them gather all around the great white throne. Through faith in my Savior and His wonderful love, oh, I can almost see the lights of home. Well, sometimes oh, Satan, he tries to dim my view. I just look up to Jesus. He is standing close by. And once again, His great light shines through. That city, I see them gather all around that great white throne. Through faith in my Savior and His wonderful love, oh, I can almost see the lights of home. Oh, I can see them gather all around that great white throne. Through faith in my Savior and His wonderful love, oh, I can almost see the lights of home.
Yes, brother. Absolutely. Absolutely. And Brother Tom Peters, that's right. There were so many text blasts. Brother Kevin Parks also, he texted me last night that he was under the weather, and there's so many others right now. But you know, God is in control. Amen. 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 He is the healer, the provider, and He is our Lord and Savior. Bless His heart. All hearts and minds clear. Praise God. Again, as we get ready to depart, I want to invite each and every one of you back for service this evening. Sure to love each and every one of you. Those watching online, if you have a prayer request, just put it in the comments, and we'll be glad to pray with you. Praise God. All righty. Our most gracious and heavenly Father, again, dear Lord, we just thank You. Lord, we thank You for Your word, dear Lord. We thank You for allowing us to be present, dear Lord, to hear Your word, dear Lord, and in Your name. Lord, again, as we come together in one body, Lord, we receive what You have for each and every one of us. We thank You for the healings. We thank You for Your touch, dear Lord. And most of all, dear Lord, we just thank You for Your love and mercy. As we prepare to part, Lord, we ask You to keep us safe. Bring us back at our appointed time, dear Lord. And we give You all the honor and glory in the most precious name above, in the name of Jesus Christ. And we all say, amen, amen. Have a wonderful, wonderful afternoon. Praise God.